The scripture reading this evening is from Acts chapter 20, and we read the verses 17 through 38. We read Acts 20, starting at verse 17, and we read through to the end of the chapter. There we read God's holy word. And from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, It is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. The text for the sermon you find in Hebrews 13. In Hebrews 13, and we consider verse 17. Hebrews 13, verse 17 is the text for the sermon this evening, where we read, Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you so far. Beloved congregation, today there seems to be little understanding about what it means to be an office bearer. In general, in church life, people think that an office bearer is something that is merely an honor for a person to do. He is chosen from the midst of the congregation, and that actually he himself is in focus. And at times it is thought that becoming an elder or a deacon implies that now I have the opportunity to serve and to display my gifts and graces. Of course, we are called to serve. But in the office, it can sometimes be thought by in the congregation or by office bearers that the purpose is to display gifts. But this is wrong. In the office, the emphasis is not upon gifts. It is not upon people. But in the office, the emphasis lies upon the Word of God. Office bearers are called to serve indeed by means of the Word of God. They are called to hide behind the Word. And that is why the issue is not what people expect of us, what they desire of us, but what the Word of God obliges us to say and to do. And in the same line, some people think that the church is a kind of a democracy, and that the consistory is chosen simply to carry out the will of the congregation. And that is why we see in many churches how the congregation rules their leaders instead of the other way around. But the elders and deacons are called to lead the congregation in the green pastures of the Word of God. The consistory is called not in the first place to listen to the congregation, but to listen to "Thus saith the Lord," and then to lead the congregation in it for its well-being. And that's why the Lord Jesus, in leading and governing His church, makes use of chosen and installed office bearers who serve Him and His Word and the congregation. Now, at times it is very good, of course, that the congregation is called to express a vote in the matter of calling office bearers or a minister or in other matters like finances. It is good that the consistory asks the congregation for a vote of support, but that is not governing, that is not leading. That is simply allowing the congregation upon whom the Spirit of God rests, as we confess from the New Testament, that they may respond. And they have the right to vote their own office bearers. Well, in this service of installation of office bearers, we meditate on Hebrews 13, verse 17. Again, we read the words of our text. "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." So we meditate upon the service of office bearers, and we see a threefold call. The first place, to watch. Second place, to give an account. And third place, to obey. The service of office bearers. We see a threefold call: to watch, to give an account, and to obey. So the text refers us to those who rule over you. The word in the original means those who lead you, those who go before you. And these are the ones who are called to give guidance to you. So this text gives a description of their task. Those who are called to guide us, they are called to watch. They watch for your souls. They watch. Well, if we look at the matter of watching, we think in the olden days when in the city walls there would be a watchman, and he would stand in the gate of the city or upon the wall, and he would watch if danger would come or some other calamity would threaten. Then this watchman had to give alarm. Well, office bearers have to watch. They have to watch in a spiritual sense. And first of all, primarily, their watch regards themselves. We read Acts 20, and there in verse 28, the apostle exhorts the elders of Ephesus, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves." So that means have a watch over yourself. And that's the first calling of an office bearer, of a minister or an elder or a deacon. It's to exercise a self-watch, to scrutinize himself, to watch against sin that easily creeps in, to watch against pride that lives in all our hearts, to watch against self-promotion, and to watch against self-delusion, to watch against a secretly subtle drawing away from the sincerity and the truth and the simplicity of God's Word. And also a watch not to be deceived by the pride of life or by the lust of the eyes or the lust of the flesh, not to be deceived by covetousness or by the love of money. There has to be a watch in the life of office bearers themselves to mortify their members which are upon the earth. That's a call to personal holiness. The emphasis on the office in his personal life is not even on gifts. The emphasis is on holiness. For an holy office bearer will be a blessed instrument and an able instrument in the hands of the Lord. Personal self-watch. And likewise, the office bearers are called to increase in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, in the experience of His grace. And so they need more light and more grace of God's Spirit to know themselves as weak in themselves and as sinful and defiled, that they would not elevate themselves. And so to learn more and more to lean upon the Lord Jesus, upon His finished righteousness alone. And so to grow up in the endless knowledge, the depths and the height of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. And so what a blessing that office bearers in this self-watch, that they may flee to the Lord to ask, "Lord, open my eyes and show me if there is a hidden path of sin within me. Know my heart, O Lord, and lead me in the paths of truth." And the Lord God will hear that prayer also of office bearers to be led in His truth. Well, that's the watch of the office bearers regarding themselves. But the Scriptures here in our text speak specifically about the watch over the souls. That means they are to exercise a watch over the souls, the congregation that is entrusted to their cares. They have to be watchmen. They have to be awake, and especially when they see in the congregation people slumbering in sin, slumbering in self-delusion. Well, they have to awaken them, to watch over them in the sense that they wake them up. And so the office bearers must be wide awake and be aware of possible dangers and threats against the flock. They are to watch night and day in prayer. Like Paul said again in Acts 20, verse 31, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." So how is it with us as office bearers? Are we watchful? Do we watch over the souls that have been entrusted to us? Are we watchful? Do we think about the flock? Do we pray for the flock? Do we speak to them? Do we comfort them? Do we rebuke them? Do we warn them? Do we love them? Do we bear also with their infirmities? And do we bear them upon our heart? For they are the souls entrusted to our cares. And so the office bearer is to be like a shepherd who watches over his flock. And as a shepherd uses a rod and a staff, the office bearers do the same, the rod and the staff of the Word of God. And so the spiritual shepherds must go before the flock, lead them, be examples to the flock in godliness, in piety, and to be alert for byways and wrong paths. There are terrible cliffs in our society, terrible depths and ravines, and many have fallen in them. You can see at times, even in a literal sense, the bones there of those that have fallen. So we are to warn the flock and lead before them and say, this is the right path. And don't go on the bypaths that lead to estrangement and darkness and misery. And so office bearers in watching over the flock are called to nourish the flock, and to feed the flock and quench their thirst. And they are to do that only with Christ. Christ, He is the bread of life. He is the fountain of life. To know Christ ourselves, to feed on Him, to drink of His fountain, and to ask the Lord that inside there would be in us living fountains of waters that others may notice, not because of us, but because of Christ, that there will be a holy jealousy to know this Savior, to live on Him, to feed on Him. The Lord Jesus says, John 6:55, "For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." To eat of Christ, that is to have communion with Him, to be in fellowship with His death, His resurrection, that is the very best. And so the office bearers have the task to be alert also for dangers. If you look at the analogy with a flock, there were dangers of bears and lions. And we know the devil goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, 1 Peter 5:8. So the office bearers have to be vigilant for dangers. Dangers coming from the outside, also dangers from the inside. And how can we as office bearers do this? We are weak. We are not qualified in ourselves. Then we think of a shepherd in the Bible. The boys and girls know that shepherd very well. Who was a shepherd in the Old Testament, boys and girls? It was David. And you know how a lion came to the flock? And David went up to the lion and killed it. And then a bear. And David killed the bear. How did he do that? How could he do it? His secret was in God. He trusted in the Lord. And we see that. The Bible tells us that. Because when he goes out to Goliath, what does David say? I killed a bear, I killed a lion, I'll kill you? No. David said in 1 Samuel 17, verse 45, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. His strength was in God. That's how David could kill Goliath. He could kill the lion and the bear because of the strength of God. And when we are called to protect the flock and to watch over her and to protect her from enemies, there's no ability in us, no strength, but there's every ability in the Lord. He strengthens the weary. He gives wisdom to those who have none. And so we are to be at home in God's Word, and in the doctrines of God's Word, in the Reformed confessions, to drink them in. They are guides to lead you. And the confessions are staves to lean upon. They are lights to show the way, rods to smite opponents. They are summaries of God's Word. Well, who is sufficient for this work of watching? In ourselves, we will do nothing. But our sufficiency is of Christ, and He who calls you is also willing to equip you, and He is also willing to make you faithful. And remember, strength is received in the way of prayer. Prayer is a mighty weapon. To take time to pray daily for ourselves and for the flock. The Lord hears prayer. It seems so futile. In our sinful ignorance, we can at times think it's a waste. It's not a waste. To pray long, why? Because the Lord strengthens. The Lord hears. Prayer is a rich blessing. It's upon prayer that the Lord pours out His Spirit. And upon prayer the congregation will thrive. That's the secret of an office bearer. To pray. And then the Lord will bless. Out of mercy. But that's the watching that an office bearer must do. But there's more in our text. Because it also says the office bearer must give an account. An account. So the office bearers will have to give an account unto the Lord. How often do we think about that in the office? How often do I and you think about that in the office? That we will have to give an account of everything we have said, what we have done, what we have thought, what we have written. It's an astounding way. Astounding matter. To have to give an account. And so we can ask questions. What care do we have for the flock? And how did we speak to the flock? Did we show them the two ways that the Lord set out in His Word? Did we tell them that it will go ill with the ungodly? But it will go well with those who fear the Lord. Are we moved about the salvation of the flock? In Ezekiel 33 verse 8 we read, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thy hand. God will demand the blood of our hands. If we fail to warn those who live in sin. And therefore as office bearers we will have to examine our hearts, our preaching, our teaching, whether it's in agreement to the will of God. And there are stern words in Scripture for unfaithful office bearers. Ezekiel 34 verse 4, the diseased have ye not strengthened. Neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. Office bearers will have to give an account of what we preached, taught, and did. And that should lead us to deep humility. For who of us can say that he did all the Lord told him to do? Which office bearer can say that he is clean? Just as the priests in the Old Testament had to cleanse themselves in order to serve. Likewise, the office bearers need to be washed daily to be cleansed. And there are failings and shortcomings need to be cleansed. Although there may be a desire and a prayer to be faithful. And although we may know the truth and we speak the truth, there can still be so many shortcomings and failings we need to be cleansed. Who of us can say that he has done everything what he was called to do? How we need the Lord Jesus Christ to cover us, also in the office. There was only one who could say, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. The Lord Jesus was pure. He was faithful. And he has also been given to office bearers in all their shortcomings. For Christ is given also to the office bearers as wisdom, as righteousness, sanctification and redemption. Now all this of course does not give an allowance to be laid back and lazy in the office. No. For then God's curse would come upon us. There needs to be self-examination, self-denial, to know the love of Christ in our hearts, for then we shall be moved to speak well of the Lord. Office bearers must give an account. It's a weighty matter. But at the end of the day, congregation, this counts for all of us. We all will have to give an account because we've all lived under the proclamation of the Word of God and we have received faithful instruction at house visitation from the Word of God. And it says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So then the question comes to us, how do we behave under the preaching of God's Word? What did you do with it? When an elder warned you, did you listen? And where is the fruit in your life of having heard maybe for many years the Word of God? God is going to ask for the fruit of this in our lives. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And therefore, let me urge you that if you are still without God, if you are still without His peace, seek the Lord now and remember the faithful instruction you've received at Sunday school. The faithful instruction that came to you in so many ways. Remember the tears that were shed, maybe of a father or a mother for you, or the tears of elders or deacons or a minister. And they warned you, maybe some of them even warned you day and night. And they prayed for you and they laid their tears, and they laid you with their tears before the Lord. And remember the tears of the great office bearer, the Lord Jesus, who shed tears over impenitent Jerusalem. And the Lord is calling you to examine your heart. You will have to give an account. And where is the fruit? The Lord is still offering grace and mercy. If you're resisting, don't resist any longer. Own your guilt. Confess your sin. You will have to give an account of all you've done and what you left undone, what should have been done. Flee to this Savior for mercy, for we all will have to give an account of the instruction we received. But then finally we see in our text also the need to obey. Our final thought. And that word obey is in our text intended for the members of the congregation. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. God calls us to obey and to listen to the office bearers that counts for us as a congregation, but also of office bearers towards one another. We are also under one another's oversight. So we are to respect one another in the office because of the value of the office. And as a congregation, we are to respect the office bearers for their office. They have a God-given authority. And that authority is not because of their personality. It's not because of their talents. It's not because they may be serious men. But this authority lies in two other places. In the first place, the fact that God appointed them. God appoints the office bearers. Acts 20, verse 28, "The Holy Ghost hath made you overseers," Paul says to the elders. And that's what we confess today's too, that the Lord gives us, we trust, faithful men to serve as elder or as deacon. Their authority rests in the calling, the appointment that God laid upon them. And besides that, their authority rests also in the Word of God. That's also their authority. The Word. They are to lead the flock in the Word. And so again we see the need to be busy with the Word of God and to study the mysteries of godliness which are revealed in Scripture regarding man's salvation and God's honor. And it's a temptation in our day and age. And we can all look at ourselves, and I can look at my own life. It's a temptation in our day and age that so easily we can be busy with futilities that we neglect to meditate on the mysteries of godliness. That's why we need self-discipline to study the Word, to read good books, to seek the Lord in prayer and supplication, and to pray for the flock. In this way we will be holy men, devoted, dedicated to the Lord, who can speak with authority in His name. And then the question comes to us, congregation. Have you obeyed those who have the rule over you? For years you've received the Word of God at family visits. Where has all this instruction led you? Did you have impressions from the Word of God? Did you listen to the Word that was brought to you? Did you recognize its authority when you were admonished, when you were instructed at house visitation? Do we bow for this authority? Did it bring us to conversion? Is there a turning to the Lord? It's very possible that we do not obey. It's even possible that we have even a critical mind. And indeed, we can easily find something wrong with a minister or an elder or a deacon. Easily by who they are and also by what they say. But such an attitude shows pride. And such an attitude, such a critical mind would show that there's little hunger and thirst for the Word of truth. That there's little humility to wish to bow and receive their good instruction. You know, the more you know yourself, and the more you know your own weakness and your unworthiness, the more receptive you will be to receive the Word that is brought to you, that is spoken to you. Obey them which have the rule over you, because they are appointed by God, because they are bringing you the Word of God. And at times it can be after a house visitation that you feel smitten, or you can feel accused by what ministers can preach to us. And we can easily become offended. But then ask yourself the question, what this office bearer said to me or preached to me, is it what we find in the Word of God? What he told me, can we find that in the Word of God? Is it contrary to the Word of God? Well, if it's contrary to the Word of God, ignore it. But if he has spoken according to the Word of God, then realize that the man has to say this. And realize that if you reject what he's telling you, that you're rejecting God and his authority. And realize also that if you're rejecting the Word, you will cause the office bearers grief and sorrow. When they see the Word is rejected, the ministers can have sorrow, and elders and deacons have grief. And then it speaks in our text of how they will do their work with sighing, with groaning, and with inner sorrow, because people do not obey the Word and do not obey the God-given office bearers. And when they do their work sighing and groaning, it will show in their ministry. It will not be profitable to you. It will be harder upon them. You will notice that. Freedom and liberty can be lacking. They feel resistance. And it's much harder then to speak the Word of God. It won't be profitable to you then. There are sorrows and suffering known only to those who are in the office. Paul had those sufferings. In Acts 20, verse 31, by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. With tears. Now there can be tears of emotion. There are also tears of love. That's also true. But it can also very well be tears of sorrow when people reject the living Word. And we see that at least, that the Apostle says that in Philippians 3:18. Many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now I tell you even, weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. That he sees people in the early church who were still hinging upon Jewish way of salvation. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? And he sees others who are against the Word, who do not bow for the authority of office bearers. He knows of false teachers. He knows of grievous wolves. And he has tears because of that. Tears when he sees also members of the congregation who had no desire really to be committed, yet grief. This can be the greatest grief. Think of Jeremiah in the Old Testament. Why is he called the weeping Jeremiah? Because he had grief when he saw that Jerusalem was going down. And they refused to listen to him. He spoke and they resisted him. They even wanted to kill him. And think of the despondency of Elijah, the grief, the great trauma he had when he was sitting there under that juniper tree and he was confessing that all his labors were in vain. That's at least a conclusion he had drawn. When the Word is resisted, that hampers, that hinders. Obey the Word. Obey those who have the oversight over you. But on the contrary, when the ministry of the Word is supported and encouraged, that will excite the elder and the minister to do his work. It will stimulate them. When there is hunger for the Word, when the elder notices that in a family there has been prayer in advance for a blessing upon this family visit, And they are all ready to receive these ambassadors of Christ. What a blessing that you will prosper by it. And preachers notice in the congregations when there is prayer for the preaching of the word, when there is hunger in the pews, when there are desirous hearts to receive the word of God. It's a joy then. Joy to hear such a desire to receive the word. And yes, there are joys in the office. And we see there's someone starting to ask and thirst for the living God. When someone else is humbled on account of his sins and foolishness, and when another receives sight upon the beauties of Christ, and when you see lives changed, renewed, becoming whole, when broken lives are healed, when straying people, wandering, unstable ones become firmly set upon the rock Christ. When you see the Word as an impact, and when God's Spirit comes over in the heart and leads deeper into the mysteries of godliness, oh, then an elder or a deacon or a minister, he delights and does his work with joy and delights in the Lord. Pray then that you will be a delight to the office bearers and not a burden, that you would not hamper their work, but that you would support it, that you would pray for these men who are in the office, that you would pray that they would be men filled with the Holy Spirit, that they would be men who receive light, and that they would instruct you and me for the sake of the honor of Christ. Pray for them. For the sake of the congregation, pray for these men to be filled with unction. And pray for a humble heart to receive their word. And pray that they may do their work diligently, faithfully. And then there will be respect for the office bearers. And there will be love and care for one another, esteeming the other above yourself. Let us therefore pray. Also in the consistory, pray to be faithful to our sender. Faithful. And who is sufficient for this task? A blessed task, but who can do it? Not me and neither you. O, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Amen.